We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This year in Minneapolis, it's not been a great year for homicides. There are 67 murders so far in 2021. We are on pace, according to the Star Tribune, to surpass last year. It was an 84 murders were recorded in Minneapolis, and that was up from 48 murders in 2019. That is a huge jump. And again, we're not on a great track so far. It harkens back to the days around 1995 when the city of Minneapolis was dubbed Murderapolis. Not a great moniker, not something that you want your city to be called. So to the person who turned that around, we now look to see if there are any similarities between what was going on in 1995 and today and how we can cut down on murders in the city. Sharon Sales Belton was a new mayor in 1995, and she turned this city around. So we're glad she's joining us on the show today to see if she has any advice. Ms. Former Mayor Sharon Sales Belton, thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure to be with you this afternoon.
And of course, we talk to your husband every Tuesday. And like I said before this interview started, I hope he's not feeling too snubbed that we asked to talk to you today. He's okay with that, right?
I think he'll live.
Okay. We'll get back to him next Tuesday. But so let's talk about 1995. You became mayor of what was officially known as Murderapolis. What was it like back then? And what was your plan to change that?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. And
of course.
And you're right. It really was a dark time. Homicide rate in the city of Minneapolis had doubled in 1 year, and much like today, there was a homicide just about every other day, every weekend. People were feeling, you know, angst, and our law enforcement department was overwhelmed. We needed a response, and we needed the entire community to come together around a response to this growing homicide. I think the real crux of our success in bringing that homicide rate down was really understanding what was behind each and every one of those homicides. And once we understood what was behind the issues, what were the motivations in those homicides, we were able to redirect, you know, our time and our attention and our resource to address those issues. We did that, and we were able to successfully bring the crime rate down. So one of the things that I've said repeatedly to elected officials in the city of Minneapolis today and to our police chief, who I admire, is that we really do have to, one, aggressively police the streets, two, provide meaningful intervention so that we can stop and reduce crime, and we've got to prevent crime. And prevent crime means that we've got to get out there in the streets and work amongst the people in those communities where crime is occurring. You can't just do one thing. You've got to do all of them.
What was the source of the homicides in 1995? Was it gang-related?
You know, one of the things that we did back in 1995 is we actually, with the University of Minnesota's Department of Epidemiology, and we asked the department to take a look at every one of those homicide cases and tell us what the common denominators were. We learned in that at that time that most of that homicide was really being committed by a group of people that were between the ages of 14 and 25. And we also understood that the homicides were really being driven by people not being able to resolve conflict in a normal, responsible way, but instead choosing to resolve conflicts, some interpersonal conflicts with guns, resulting in, you know, fatality. Now, most of these arguments could have just been, you know, simply mediated, but they weren't, because the choices that the people made who were involved in these homicides were to take people's lives, to kill, you know, an individual because of a personal dispute.
So how did we change it? Did the police officers police differently? Did you work on mediation with groups that were warring? Specifically, what can we learn from that time? How did you fix it?
First of all, I want to just underscore that we fixed it together as a community. Everybody was in partnership. The mayor, the city council, the nonprofit community, the private sector, the citizens, you know, of the city of Minneapolis. Everybody was working together, and one of the things that I would just pray would happen now is that people would all come together and get on the same page and work towards a solution. The other thing that we did back then, which we still continue today, is to get people out in the community and interacting with young people to discourage them, to provide them with alternatives. We built up our programs in our parks, in our schools. There were so many opportunities and options for children and young people to be able to choose something other than a life of crime. So that was first. The second thing was intervening. The truth of the matter is that people knew who some of the rabble-rousers were. They knew who the gangbangers were. And we were able to identify people who could work with those individuals to help them really understand that there are alternatives, you know, to death. You don't have to use a gun to resolve a problem or an issue. There's mediation. There's mediation circles. There are just testimonials that will help you maybe even choose to put the gun down and change your life and turn it around. The faith community was very actively involved in those intervention efforts. And for people who just wanted to disrespect the law and commit crime and violence, I'm sorry. We had to work hard to identify who they were, arrest them, and then hold them accountable for their violent behavior and their total disregard for human life. You have to do all three.
We're speaking with former mayor of Minneapolis, Sharon Sales Belton, about what it was like in 1995 and how she, along with the community, along with police, with faith leaders, with the city council, kind of got rid of that moniker of Murderapolis. So, Sharon, today, you know, it's 26 years later. We're living in a post-George Floyd world. How do you think it's possible now to use some of the same tactics that you used to cut down on the murders in Minneapolis? Or are we having different provocateurs at this point?
Well, you know, there's always going to be provocateurs, and okay, that's fine. I think we just have to accept that. One of the things that I would love to see now, that I think we need to see now, is we need to see the entire community working together on an action plan, a real plan to try to turn this crisis around. And that's what's missing from my perspective, bringing everybody together in a common conversation at a common table and thinking about and talking about what each person, what each group, what each unit can bring to the table to kind of get the city back on track and drive the crime rate down. What I don't understand is I don't understand why we're not talking about bringing more programming into the park so that children have alternatives to to enjoy the summer and to be off the streets. I don't have any understanding or awareness about how why we're not growing, you know, the number of intervention strategies so that when somebody has a problem or issue, or they're trying to connect a child or a young person to a resource for help or even, you know, for a positive experience, people don't even know who to call. They want to believe that they can call City Hall and say, "Hey, I'm in trouble with my kid. I don't know what to do." Mm-hmm. Who they don't know who to call. I mean, people are still calling me, and it's 26 years later. I don't, you know, I'm not the right resource. The right resource is the mayor, is the city council, is the park board. They're the ones that have the tools and the resources to provide for the supports for young people. Somebody else needs to be sitting at that table and talking about jobs, education and training so that kids have, young people have alternatives to a life of crime and violence. You know, here's one of the things that frustrates me the most is everybody is looking for, you know, the quick fix. There's not a quick fix, but there is a fix. It's not quick, but it will take everybody being involved and everybody agreeing upon the strategy. You know, when I advanced my strategy 26 years ago, I will tell you, I had skeptics. People didn't believe that it would work until it did. People were impatient. They didn't believe it would work until it did. Yeah. And so what I would just say is that let's put a round table together, invite everybody to come and bring their solutions to the table, because every one of us has something to, you know, to contribute, an idea, mm-hmm. a strategy, a resource. And it takes everyone, you know, working together to get this done. Not the city council alone. Not the outside, you know, groups by themselves with, you know, with a new idea. It's going to be a shared idea.
When you hear defund the police or even reappropriate funds for the police, what's your reaction to that?
You know, my first reaction to it is really, I actually would like to see the police department have more tools, because I don't think the police, a police response is the only response to a situation where somebody might otherwise call the police. The police don't have all of the tools. So I like some of the things that the city and the county have been doing. I want to underscore the county. If a person is having a mental health crisis, it might be better to have a person who has mental health, you know, crisis intervention skills, right, while working alongside of the police. I'm all for that. I don't think the police are the answer to every problem or situation where somebody is feeling uncomfortable. But we've conditioned people to believe that the police are the only ones that need to be called. I do not support the idea of defunding the police. I do not support the idea of dismantling the police. I do not like the idea that the city council language implies that we may have police. Doesn't say we will have police. They're saying we may have police if we want them. I think that's a bad answer. We need police. We need good police. We need to eliminate the police from our department who do not know how to respect the badge that they wear to protect and serve us, who undermine the oath of office that they take. Get rid of those police. Let's work with the police who know how to do their job, and let's give them better tools. Let's give them more tools. And then let's stop calling the police for, you know, every single thing that that makes us uncomfortable. That's not the way to use the police. The police are here to help us to solve crime and to create a sense of community so that we can invest and grow our families, grow our businesses, and build a prosperous economy that works for everybody. That's what I want to do. That's what I hope we can accomplish. Defunding the police is not going to solve, you know, the problem. In fact, it will make the problem worse. So let's figure out what the real issues are and solve them.
Would you ever think about running for mayor again?
Ask Stephen.
I will ask Stephen. And I know you have another appointment, but just I can hear all the passion about Minneapolis, and I can hear the wheels turning in your head. What advice do you have? And real advice for the mayor, for the city council, for the people, for the police. What's your advice for all of us today to make Minneapolis safer?
You know, one of the things that I would say to the, you know, to the rank and file, the police that are serving the city of Minneapolis, is you know what good policing looks like. When you see bad policing, you need to be reporting that to the chief, and you need to be helping the citizens ensure that we have the best possible police on the streets. And I'm saying that because they know who the people are who are disrespecting the badge. And everybody, their entire reputation is being harmed by those individuals who don't take that oath of office seriously. So I want the police to do a better job in identifying those officers that are not upholding the badge. That's first and foremost. The second thing that I would say is to the citizens of the city of Minneapolis, pay attention to the charter amendments that are on the ballot this November, because there's a ballot that talks about strengthening government. There's a ballot measure that talks about defunding the police and creating a new Department of Public Safety. The Department of Public Safety sounds like a wonderful idea, but I'm just going to say this out loud. The devil is in the details, and there are no details. The city council promised a plan last year. There's still no plan. There's a vision. A vision is not a plan. Pay attention to the language of the charter amendment and use your best judgment and make a decision for the city as a resident of the city of Minneapolis that's going to benefit all of us as a community. So that's the second. And the last thing that I would say is that it would be helpful if all of the units of a government that operate in the city of Minneapolis would work together on a public safety plan. That includes the park board. It includes the school board. It includes the city of Minneapolis, the city council, the office of the mayor, and Hennepin County. Those units of government need to come together and have a comprehensive strategy to address public safety. And I would like to then invite the private sector and the philanthropic community to also join that effort. Minneapolis by itself cannot go it alone. We cannot solve this problem by ourselves. In collaboration and cooperation and in unity, we can save our city and get back on track. We can save lives and get back on track. We can elevate lives and get the city back on track. That's my hope for our Minneapolis community. And you're right. You hear passion in my voice because I love the city. I've dedicated a large part of my life to the city of Minneapolis, and it means a lot to me, and it means a lot to a lot of other people. And we can do better, and we need to do better.
Former Mayor Sharon Sales Belton and maybe future candidate Sharon Sales Belton. I will take it up with Stephen. We will talk about it next week. I so appreciate this conversation today and the thoughts, the ideas, taking us back and what we can do. Thank you so much for joining us.
It was my pleasure. Hope to talk to you again.
Yes, please. Have a good one.
Goodbye.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.